It is 10:54 or so Central Time here on February 16th, 2023, and we'll call to order the meeting of the Finance, Audit, Compliance, Facilities, and Operations Committee. This meeting is being conducted in person and through video conferencing communications pursuant to Public Act 101-0640, enacted June 12th of 2020 in Section 7E of the Illinois Open Meetings Act, allowing for virtual board meetings during a disaster declaration relating to public health concerns. As chair of the committee, I have determined that an in-person meeting is not practical or prudent because of the disaster. As such, trustees may attend today's meeting by audio and visual conferencing and not by physical presence. Ms. Doe, would you please call the roll?
Trustee Rita Athens.
Here.
Trustee John Butler.
Here.
Trustee Montel Gales.
Here.
Trustee Veronica Herrero. Committee Vice Chair Bob Pritchard, Trustee Tim Moore, Committee Chair Dennis Barsima.
Here.
Board Chair Eric Wasowitz.
Here.
Thank you very much. We'll move on to agenda item number two. Mr. Perry, could you please verify that we have a quorum and that appropriate notice of this meeting has been posted?
Good morning, Mr. Chair. You have a quorum present and appropriate notice has been provided pursuant to the Illinois Open Meetings Act.
Thank you very much. Agenda item number three, may I have a motion to approve the agenda as proposed?
So moved, Wasowitz.
Second, Athens.
Thank you. Is there any discussion? Ms. Doe, would you please call the roll?
Trustee Rita Athens.
Yes.
Trustee John Butler.
Yes.
Trustee Montel Gales.
Yes.
Trustee Veronica Herrero. Committee Vice Chair Bob Pritchard, Trustee Tim Moore, Committee Chair Dennis Barsima.
Yes.
Board Chair Eric Wasowitz.
Yes.
Now, at this point in time, I am going to propose an amendment to the agenda that we just approved to exclude from voting today and discussion items 8C and 8D. So 8C is in cat, 8D is in dog. For the purpose of the fact that we will not have quorum since Trustee Gales abstains from any voting on matters pertaining to the law school, since his daughter is a student in that school. And without Trustee Gales' vote, we do not have quorum for those items. So is there a motion exclude items 8C and 8D?
Mr. Chair, before you take the motion for those items, just to clarify, it is just in relation to the law school portion of those items, not the undergraduate or graduate recommendations.
Okay, so we do plan to vote on 8C and 8D for the undergrad and grad?
That is correct. It's just the law school portion of the items.
Okay. So there's an amendment then to exclude the law school from items 8C and 8D voting. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
I'll second.
Okay. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, I'm sorry, Ms. Doe, could you please call the roll?
Trustee Rita Athens?
Yes.
Trustee John Butler?
Yes.
Trustee Montel Gales?
Yes.
Trustee Veronica Herrero? Committee Vice Chair Bob Pritchard? Trustee Tim Moore? Committee Chair Dennis Barsima?
Yes.
Board Chair Eric Wasowitz.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. The motion to amend is approved. Item number four, review and approval of the minutes. Is there a motion to approve the minutes of the meeting of November 10th, 2022?
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Second.
Okay, second from Trustee Butler. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, Ms. Still, would you please call the roll?
Trustee Rita Athus?
Yes.
Trustee John Butler?
Yes.
Trustee Montel Gales?
Yes.
Trustee Veronica Herrero? Committee Vice Chair Bob Pritchard? Trustee Tim Moore? Committee Chair Dennis Barsima?
Yes.
Board Chair Eric Wasowitz?
Yes.
Thank you very much. We will now move on to agenda item number 5, Chair's comments and announcements. At this point in time, I'd like to welcome any members of the University Advisory Committee who are present today to speak. Do any of the members have any comments for the board?
I'll begin. Thank you. This is Brad Kripe. I just wanted to thank CFO Middlemist for making himself available to the faculty. I've seen him several times over the last couple of months, and it is just an honor to meet with him and to get to know him a little bit, and just thank you for the time that you've spent with the faculty. I very much appreciate it.
Felicia Bohannon. I just want to express my support for the university's recommendation for a zero increase in tuition. I know that many students are continuing to struggle to pay tuition from one semester to the next, and just the importance of maintaining the zero tuition increase. So thank you.
And I'm Karen Whitby, and I want to thank you for allowing us to comment here. We just wanted to make a comment also about the possibility of re-examining the financial benefit of attempting to bring back services in-house that are currently being outsourced. We're particularly concerned about elevator service issues, printing, and then large-scale printing. We've been having some problems with that. And then we also wanted to request, insofar as we are going forward with it, greater attention to issues of shared leadership and transparency with regard to anywhere printing, and especially the deploying of printers. Thank you.
Okay. Are there any other comments from any of the UAC members? Okay, hearing none, thank you very much for the comments made. Well, good morning to all. I regret that I'm not with you there in person for today's discussion, but I do look forward to what I know will be a robust set of conversations around some critical pieces of university business for both the current and upcoming fiscal year. I'd like to start off, Brad mentioned Dr. Middlemist. Want to welcome George to NIU. I too have had the occasion on a couple of circumstances to work with George, and it has been a pleasure. George comes to NIU from Metropolitan State University of Denver. Dr. Middlemist has over 26 years of experience in various roles, including Director of Student Accounts and Business Services, Director of Accounting Services, Controller, Associate Vice President and Controller, Associate Vice President and Chief Financial Officer. He also served 1 year as the Interim Vice President of Administration, 3 years as Interim Vice President of Information Technology, and even sometimes as Interim Athletic Director. So clearly, George brings a very deep deep background and a deep understanding and appreciation for NIU's mission, vision, and values. And we are grateful to have you join us here at NIU as our Vice President of Administration and Finance and Chief Financial Officer. And as Brad mentioned, we look forward to getting to know you and working with you. So, George, welcome to NIU and the NIU family.
Thank you.
Any comments that you care to make at this point in time, George, to the group?
So, I mean, today is 1 month in, so yay for that, right? I'm still learning a lot. You'll know when I'm really, really comfortable, because then I'll start talking a lot, and I, long time. So, and I anticipate that's not too far down the road. I can't tell you how much I appreciate all the warm and kind welcome that I've received here. You know, it was a big change from a guy who likes no change. As people who've met with me know, I eat at the same restaurant every day. And so changing is not something that I do naturally in my life. This has been a really easy transition for me, and I appreciate everybody who's done that for me. So thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Middlemiss. And I hope that restaurant is in the Holmes Student Center with all of our new food services that we have there that were put there a few years ago.
Yes, kudos to the office.
We have a full agenda for today's meeting. We're focused on a set of important financial updates and several recommendations that include tuition and fee recommendations for FY24 and financial commitments in support of the university's operational needs and goals. We are moving forward 16 recommendations for approval, of course, excluding the two law school items that we discussed in the agenda amendment. Seven of these will go to the special meeting that follows the FACFA meeting. Those items moving forward to the special meeting are time sensitive, including six items that are related to costs to students for the upcoming fiscal year 24. So to move on to agenda item number six, public comment. At this point in time, we wish to recognize members of the public who have complied with state law and the Board of Trustees bylaws by registering their written request to address the board. Mr. Perry, have you received any timely requests to address this meeting?
Mr. Chair, we have no public comment this morning.
Okay, thank you. At this point in time, I would like to ask Vice President and Chief Financial Officer, Dr. Jordan Middlemiss, to present the university's financial update. George, I will turn it over to you.
Thank you. Agenda item 7A is the quarterly financial summary, fiscal year 2023, second quarter as of December 31st, 2022. I'd like to ask Andrew Rogers, Assistant Vice President for Budget and Financial Planning, to present this item.
Thank you and good morning. Through the first half of the fiscal year, the university recorded $340.7 million in revenues against $207.5 million in expenses, generating net revenue of $133.1 million. This is better than our prorated budget with respect to revenues, expenses, and net revenue, yet slightly behind fiscal year 2022. For the full year, a trend-based projection suggests revenues and expenses will both finish below budget. An overall deficit is projected of $13.7 million, which is about $2 million greater than our FY23 budget plan. The board item document disaggregates this financial summary into structural and non-structural components, presenting them alongside activity of sponsored programs. I want to note that the structural budget performance through the second quarter, which represents recurring revenues and expenses of the university, is tracking very close to budget in terms of net revenue. There are several revenue and expense categories and trends that we will be monitoring closely throughout the rest of the fiscal year. I'm going to highlight five of those, three of them revenues and two of them expenses. First, focusing on revenues. Tuition and fee revenues are tracking above budget through December 31st, leading to a projection that is $3.8 million better than our budget plan. Results through the end of January affirm our projection of $164 million for tuition and fee revenue over the full year. Sales revenue is presently projected below budget, but well ahead of recent years. To date, the current fiscal year represents the highest level of sales revenue at the end of the second quarter since at least fiscal year 2017. We project to finish under budget here, but strong performance in the third quarter could narrow the projected gap, so we'll be monitoring that closely. The final revenue category I'll highlight is miscellaneous and investment income, We are working with some units on campus to resize and correct budgets for this revenue line. We expect that our third quarter financial summary in May will incorporate budget adjustments that are identified through this work. Moving to the expense side, I first want to comment on personnel services. Our spend in this category is well under budget to this point in the fiscal year. NIU is engaged in bargaining with a number of labor unions, and the ratification of collective bargaining agreements may cause an increase in personnel services expenses for the fiscal year. Additionally, if hiring activity accelerates, we could start to see a greater utilization of the personnel services budgets across campus. Next, turning to contractual services, our spending here is greater than we anticipated with our first quarter financial summary. We'll monitor this throughout the third quarter to try and determine if this variance is driven by the timing of transactions or greater levels of consumption. This concludes my prepared comments regarding these second quarter results. We will be back to this committee with a third quarter financial summary at its May meeting, followed by full year results in November. Thank you.
Thank you, Andrew. I recognize a lot of work goes into these updates that you give to the board each quarter. We want to thank you and your team for the work that you do. We appreciate it very, very much. We are pleased with this quarter's adjustment, which recognizes how the budget may change over the course of the fiscal year to meet the needs of the university. These types of adjustments help us to better understand the current financial understanding as we review and consider requests to use university resources as part of this committee's charge. Regarding the numbers specifically, as trustees, we remain aware of and concerned with closing the projected deficit, and we are grateful for the continued efforts across the campus to be fiscally responsible. We are witnessing and experiencing lower non-structural revenues as COVID relief funds come to an end. So I and the board encourage the campus leadership to remain diligent in their efforts to close this ongoing budget gap as we move forward. Are there any other comments or questions from the trustees? Trustee Gales?
And Chairman, you kind of touched on this. I'm getting a little feedback. We kind of touched on this, but the deficit, am I to be under the impression that we'll be able to, if not reduce that greatly, if not eliminate it, based on the funding that we heard about earlier through Matt coming from the state of Illinois, or am I putting too much into that?
So I'm probably too new to be speaking to this, but I think it helps. I think that the challenge, the cost that we don't talk about a lot at universities is the declining enrollment, because that becomes a mandatory cost, right? Those are lost revenues. And so the good news from the state is really great news, because it's a trend that is beginning to show that states are reinvesting in higher education, which will take some of the pressure off. But we still have to write that decline. And I think that, this is from my perspective, that the investment that this institution decided to make last year by having a deficit budget was to write that, right? So you'll learn from me that I use a lot of analogies, and I apologize, it's just how I'm wired. So when a plane is in a dive, right, like enrollment, there comes a point where you have to put power to the engine. So you need to use fuel. You got to push forward to get out of that dive and launch yourself back up, right? And so you make intentional investments to help write that, which then helps write that, the enrollment, and also your tuition revenues. So, I think that there's a lot that we have to do, which talks to how you increase revenues and how you, what Dr. Freeman talked about, how you reallocate resources so that you stop doing things that aren't delivering the results that you want, and start doing things that do deliver those results.
So from that response, I take it that we will continue on with our cost-cutting measures in order to do what we can in order to eradicate that budget.
Yeah, I think that that's a part of
the
it.
Budget deficit.
Yeah.
Can I add something? You know, we are very grateful at the university for the relationship we have with the board to do these quarterly updates and give you a window into what's happening in real time. And we are good stewards of public funds, and part of that, Trustee Gale, certainly is cutting unnecessary expenses. But I think as CFO Middlemiss just referred to, part of that also is investing in innovation and in services and supports that help us realize our obligation to our students and that also will increase revenue. So, you know, that the map that you asked about and the operating budget that was just approved doesn't really kick in until fiscal year 24. But in the first meeting, committee meeting of the day, when you asked us to help celebrate the fact that student retention had returned to pre-COVID levels, that was huge. A lot of what we see in this budget is asynchrony in how different aspects of our revenue and expenses emerge from the pandemic. And I think there are some positive indicators. We can't, you know, pretend everything is rosy and we can ignore doing things. But, you know, that return to pre-COVID retention represents not just the effort and the sweat equity of so many people in student affairs and academic affairs and ADEI and our staff across campus, but it also represents investment in mental health services, in the learning management system, the student success system, and things that this board has blessed us with the ability to invest in through the partnership we have in fiscal oversight of the university. And sometimes you just have to do the right thing for a while before you really see the payoff. But I am optimistic that we are starting to see the payoff and that our two major sources of revenue, tuition and state appropriations, look good for next year.
And I would also remind us all that going into fiscal year 23, I don't have the numbers directly in front of me, so Andrew or others, correct me if I'm wrong, but you know, the board had approved a deficit of $11+ million. I think it was $11.7 million thereabouts. And currently we're showing 13.6, I think the number was. And so, you know, to do things to get back to what the budget was, I think is great, and I appreciate you know, the work that's being done to that, and fully support Dr. Freeman's comments relative to, you know, it's a fine balance where we have to invest in the right places, and you know, I know that this board has extreme confidence in that the leadership of the university is making the right decisions on where to pull back and where to invest. And we do appreciate, you know, I think we all have to recognize that the quarterly updates is something that we started a couple of years ago as we entered, you know, as we entered COVID and we entered times of uncertainty from a budget standpoint. And so we do appreciate these updates on a quarterly basis, understanding that life is fluid, and budgets are fluid, so they are going to change on a quarter over quarter basis. If they didn't, this would be the first institution or organization that I've been a part of that actually, you know, forecasted something at the beginning of the year and made that forecast each and every quarter. That would be unique. Look forward to making it at the end of the year or exceeding, but we know that during the course of a year, budgets are going to be fluid. But do appreciate all the efforts and do want to just encourage, and I know that we will remain diligent, as I said, in looking for ways to close the ongoing deficit as we move forward. Other questions for Andrew or for Dr. Middlemist? Okay. Seeing none, George, I think we can move on to item 7B.
Great. Agenda item 7B is the periodic report on investments for period ending December 31st, 2022. I'd like to ask Cherie Sannon, to Associate Vice President for Finance and Treasury Operations, to present this item.
Thank you, Dr. Middlemiss, and good morning, trustees and President Freeman. Thank you for the opportunity to present the second quarter periodic report on cash and investments. A thorough written update is provided in your material, and I'll just review a few key points from the report. Turning to the cash and investment holding summary report, you will see the university's total cash and investment holdings balance was just over $141 million as of December 31st, 2022. That is down $24 million from the same time last year. This is primarily a result of a slight delay in cash receipts from state appropriations, an anticipated reduction in cash receipts from federal relief funding, as well as increases in operating cash disbursements. Of the total holding balance, approximately $79 million is available for daily operations, providing between our targeted 60 to 90 days of cash on hand. The remaining balance is restricted per collateralization requirements and contractual obligations. Moving on to the investment and earnings report, the overall annualized rate of return on investments was 3.25, and interest income was $1.2 million for the second quarter. This represents an increase in interest earned of approximately $1.1 million when compared to the same quarter of fiscal 22. Economists are anticipating additional rate hikes this year to combat the high inflation, and these federal fund rate hikes will continue to provide opportunities to increase investment yields for the university. We will continue to monitor the market changes and seek opportunities to strengthen the university's cash position within the limitations of the Illinois Public Funds Investment Act. Thank you, and happy to take any questions you may have.
Thank you, Cherie. Any questions for Cherie? Okay, good. Now I can see the board. Okay. It's interesting, and I think this, we can thank the feds for the rate of return that we got in Q2 versus Q2 of 22. So I guess that's the one good thing for us that came out of all of the Fed rate hikes. Cherie, thanks very much. We will now move on to agenda item 8, the university recommendations and action items. At this point in time, I would ask Vice President and CFO, Dr. George Middlemiss, to present the university recommendations. George?
Thank you, Trustee Barsima. Agenda item 8A is the fiscal year 2024 room and board pricing recommendation. The university is presenting a pricing recommendation to establish room and board fees for the coming year. The collection of room and board fees from students living in university residence halls and Northern View Community Apartments supports housing and residential services, campus dining services, and related revenue bond obligations. The university is recommending that room and board rates increase no more than $200 per semester for each room accommodation in the residence halls for fiscal year 24. This represents an average increase of 3.3% for all rate types. The increase for Northern View Apartments, room only, is recommended to be approximately $100 per semester, which represents an average increase of 2.5% for all unit types. No change to residential dining plan structures or pricing is being proposed for this coming year. The university recommends that the Finance, Audit, Compliance, Facilities, and Operations Committee endorse this request and asks that the President forward it by means of the President's report to the Board of Trustees for approval at its special meeting on February 16, 2023.
Thank you, George. Is there a motion to approve agenda item 8A?
So move, Wasowitz.
Second, Athens.
Thank you very much. Any questions or discussion? Trustee Wasowitz.
George, I'm just amazed that we're able to, keep the lid on this as much as we have. I mean, on the way up here this morning, I listened on CNBC, the latest inflation reports out there. So kudos to you and everybody to really trying to keep costs down as much as possible. So this is frankly amazing. So
thank you. Kudos aren't for me though. They're for the
yes.
the residence team and student affairs and you know everybody always keeping at the front of their minds the pressures on our students in terms of price. You'll hear me use balance a lot because I'm an accountant and everything has to balance. It's a fine balancing act, right, to be able to continue to move forward and in a mindset that's not a scarcity mindset.
Further questions or discussion? Okay. Seeing none, Ms. Dole, would you please call the roll for agenda item 8A?
Trustee Rita Athes?
Yes.
Trustee John Butler?
Yes.
Trustee Montel Gales?
Yes.
Trustee Veronica Herrero? Committee Vice Chair Bob Pritchard? Trustee Tim Moore? Committee Chair Dennis Barsima?
Yes.
Board Chair Eric Weswitz?
Yes.
Agenda item 8A is approved. Agenda item 8B, George?
Agenda item 8B is the fiscal year 2024 undergraduate tuition pricing recommendation. For this coming year, the university recommends a 0% increase in base tuition and no change in undergraduate differential rates. These recommendations were developed with the goal of addressing affordability concerns and maintaining fiscal responsibility by keeping the total cost of attendance for full-time students as low as possible. Prior to this recommendation for fiscal year 24, NIU has held the base tuition flat from fiscal years 16 through 21 and increased tuition by 1.5% in 22 and by 1.9% in 23. The university recommends that the Finance, Audit, Compliance, Facilities, and Operations Committee endorse this request and ask that the President forward it by means of the President's report to the Board of Trustees for approval at its special meeting on February 16th, 2023.
Thank you. Let me start by this. Is there a motion to approve agenda item 8B?
So move, Gales.
Thank you, Trustee Gales. Is there a second?
Second, Wasowitz.
Thank you, Chair Wasowitz. Any discussions or questions on agenda item 8B? Trustee Athes, thank you.
Thank you. I just wanted to echo Trustee Wasowitz's comment on housing, the same thing on tuition, and commend the president and the team for keeping tuition, the lid on tuition. This is probably the most expensive item that a student has to face. And with a university that's committed to providing this opportunity to as many people who we can, I think this is crucial and really commend the team for having this as one of our main goals to keep affordability where it should be. So thank you.
Thank you, Trustee Athes. Further discussion or questions? Well, I would echo all of the comments made. I think it's incredible that we are able to do this from a tuition standpoint. I think it supports the state of Illinois and our governor's goal of making higher education affordable. And I applaud and I congratulate all of those involved, which I know are many, in making the determination to keep this pricing in check. So congratulations to the university. Hearing no further or seeing no further discussion wanted or warranted, Ms. Doe, would you please call the roll for agenda item 8B?
Trustee Rita Athes?
Yes.
Trustee John Butler?
Yes.
Trustee Montel Gales?
Yes.
Trustee Veronica Herrero, Committee Vice Chair Bob Pritchard, Trustee Tim Moore, Committee Chair Dennis Barsima.
Yes.
Board Chair Eric Wasowitz.
Yes.
Agenda item 8B is approved. On to agenda item 8C, and I would remind us that per the previous amended motion on the agenda that for item 8C, we will not be voting on the law tuition pricing recommendation. We will only be voting on the graduate tuition pricing.
Agenda item 8C is the fiscal year 2024 graduate pricing recommendation. For the coming year, the university recommends a zero increase in base and differential tuition rates for graduate students. These recommendations were developed with the goals of addressing affordability concerns and maintaining fiscal responsibility by keeping the total cost of attendance for full-time students as low as possible. Prior to this recommendation, NIU held base tuition flat from fiscal years 16 through 21 and increased tuition 1.5% for graduate students and in 22 and then 1.9% for graduate students in fiscal year 23. The university recommends that the Finance, Audit, Compliance, Facilities, and Operations Committee endorse this request and ask that the President forward it by means of the President's report to the Board of Trustees for approval at its special meeting on February 16th, 2023.
Thank you very much. Is there a motion to approve the amended item 8C for the graduate tuition pricing recommendation?
So moved, Wasowitz.
There a second?
Second, Butler.
Thank you. Any questions or discussion? And before I field any, just to remind everybody that we will plan in the March meeting to discuss and vote on the law school tuition recommendation. So that will be pushed to the March meeting. Any questions or discussion on this for Dr. Middlemist or others? Okay, seeing no hands waving. Ms. Doe, would you please call the roll for agenda item 8C?
Trustee Rita Athus?
Yes.
Trustee John Butler?
Yes.
Trustee Montel Gales?
Can I vote?
Yes.
Forgive me. Yes.
Thank you. Trustee Veronica Herrero. Committee Vice Chair Bob Pritchard.
Like, oh my God.
Trustee Tim Moore. Committee Chair Dennis Barsima.
Yes.
Board Chair Eric Wasowitz.
Yes.
Thank you. Amended agenda item 8C is approved. Item 8D, and again, to remind us, we amended this when we approved the agenda. As with item 8C, we will be discussing and voting just on the student fee pricing recommendations for undergrad and graduate students and not law students. We will discuss and vote on that in the March meeting. So with that, agenda item 8D, George.
Yes, this agenda item is fiscal year 2024 undergraduate graduate student fee pricing recommendation. The following item presents a pricing recommendation that addresses Northern Illinois University's undergraduate graduate fees for fiscal year 24. These recommendations were developed with the goals of addressing affordability concerns and maintaining fiscal responsibility by keeping the total cost of attendance for full-time students as low as possible. The university has numerous student activities, programs, services, and operations that are supported with these fees. I've lost my place. These charges are aggregated into more manageable fee numbers. The following fees have a request for a fee amount change in the coming year. Health and wellness charge increases from $7.90 per credit hour to $8.15, an increase of 25 cents. The fee increase is necessary to fully fund the cost of these services. The capital improvements charge increases from $14.90 in the fiscal year 23 to $15.35, or a 45-cent increase. The fee increase will support renovations and repairs in high-impact student spaces such as study areas, classrooms, student engagement areas, and other spaces. And finally, the transportation access charge increases from $7 in fiscal year 23 to $7.70 for fiscal year 24, an increase of 70 cents. An increase in cost necessitates this fee increase. This item describes the purpose of each charge, then provides a summary of the fee rates for fiscal year 23 and for fiscal year 24. The university recommends that the Finance, Audit, Compliance, Facilities, and Operations Committee endorse this request and ask that the President forward it by means of the President's report to the Board of Trustees for approval at its special meeting on February 16th, 2023.
Thank you very much. And George, don't worry, I've lived most of my life losing my place. Okay, is there a motion to approve agenda item 8D?
So move, Wasowitz.
Second, Athos.
Yes. Thank you, Trustee Athos. Any discussions on agenda item 8D? Okay. Seeing none, Ms. Doe, would you please call the roll? And again, I would remind the board members that we are voting on the amended agenda item for 8D, which includes the undergraduate and graduate fee pricing, not the law school pricing, which will be moved to the March board meeting.
Agenda item 8D is the graduation.
Hang on, we need to call the roll to approve 8D.
Trustee Rita Athos?
Yes.
Trustee John Butler?
Yes.
Trustee Montel Gales?
Yes.
Trustee Veronica Herrero? Committee Vice Chair Bob Pritchard? Trustee Tim Moore? Committee Chair Dennis Barsima?
Yes.
Board Chair Eric Wasowitz?
Yes.
Thank you. Agenda item 8D is approved as amended. Now we move on to agenda item 8E.
Agenda item 8E is the graduation fee proposal. The university is requesting an increase in the graduation fee paid by students in the semester during which they graduate. The university, with approval of the Board of Trustees, implemented a graduation fee in 1999. The fee has not changed since that implementation. While the cost for printing and distributing diplomas, supplying diploma covers, and most importantly, celebrating that great day, have risen. A new fee rate will be $40 for baccalaureate students and $55 for graduate students effective August 16, 2023. The university recommends that the Finance Audit Compliance Facilities and Operations Committee endorse this request and ask that the President forward it by means of the President's report to the Board of Trustees for approval at its special meeting on February 16, 2023.
And Mr. Chair, just to be clear, because it is law and graduate, again, you're focusing on the graduate for the vote today and not the law school portion of the fee.
Thank you. Is there a motion to approve agenda item 8E?
So moved, Athos.
Second?
Second, Butler.
Thank you, Trustee Butler. Any questions or discussion? Okay, seeing none. Ms. Dill, would you please call the roll for agenda item 8E?
Trustee Rita Athos?
Yes.
Trustee John Butler?
Yes.
Trustee Montel Gales?
Yes.
Trustee Veronica Herrero? Committee Vice Chair Bob Pritchard? Trustee Tim Moore? Committee Chair Dennis Barsima?
Yes.
Board Chair Eric Wasowitz?
Yes.
Agenda item 8E is approved. Agenda item 8F.
Agenda item 8F is the fiscal year 2024 student health insurance. The university offers group health insurance to students funded solely by the student health insurance fees. For participating students, their fees are collected and submitted to the broker or insurer as a pass-through expense to the university. Students may waive their participation in this plan if they have proof of other comparable health insurance. As a participating institution of the Illinois Public Higher Education Cooperative, the university used the selected insurance broker to source and secure a student health insurance plan and program for fiscal year 24. The quoted rate will reflect a 2.5% decrease in premium for students who participate in the coverage, not to exceed $1,296 per semester or $2,592 for the year, and a rebate from the carrier to offset administrative costs associated with the plan. The final plan and premium negotiations are ongoing, and any additional savings would be passed along to the students for fall 2023. The FY24 plan and program coverage terms and conditions will remain comparable with fiscal year 23. The university recommends that the Finance, Audit, Compliance, Facilities, and Operations Committee endorse this request and ask that the President forward it by means of the President's report to the Board of Trustees for approval at its special meeting on February 16, 2023.
Thank you. George, is there a motion to approve agenda item 8F?
So moved, Gales.
Second?
Wasowitz.
Thank you, Chair Wasowitz. Is there any discussion or questions?
No, this is Gail's. Mr. Chair, I'd just like to say that I think this is fantastic that we have the ability to provide portions of our population with insurance. You know, as I raise my family and I see people approaching the age of 26, 25, 26, knowing that they'll be off my policy one day, it's good to see that kids have an opportunity to continue on and have good health care. With that said, that's the end of my statement.
Thank you, Trustee Gales. Other questions or discussion comments? Okay. Seeing none, Ms. Dill, would you please call the roll for agenda item 8F?
Trustee Rita Athus?
Yes.
Trustee John Butler?
Yes.
Trustee Montel Gales?
Yes.
Trustee Veronica Herrero? Committee Vice Chair Bob Pritchard? Trustee Tim Moore? Committee Chair Dennis Barsima?
Yes.
Board Chair Eric Wesowitz?
Yes.
Thank you. Agenda item 8F is approved. Agenda item 8G.
Agenda item 8G is the EAB Master Service Agreement, or MSA. The university is requesting approval for expenditure authority of up to $12 million for 5 years to enter into a new MSA with EAB. That's a lot of abbreviations. An existing recruitment and retention partner that provides best-in-class execution across a full range of required services and audiences while delivering them in a cohesive and coordinated way to help NIU achieve its enrollment goals. A key component of this MSA is bringing these services and their associated strategies together under one agreement to provide greater administrative and cost efficiencies, as well as flexibility to refine or enhance services as market conditions require and or new EAB products and services become available. While the development and launch of the SEM 2.0 plan and recent expansion of EAB services, NIU is now in a position to bring all of these services under one umbrella. It will create a greater administrative and transactional cost efficiencies, cost savings for bundled services, and a more cohesive overall strategy development. EAB is an officially recognized sole source vendor in the Illinois Public Higher Education Cooperative. The university recommends that the Finance, Audit, Compliance, Facilities, and Operations Committee endorse this request and ask that the President forward it by means of the President's report to the Board of Trustees for approval at its special meeting on February 16, 2023.
Thank you, Dr. Middlemist. Is there a motion to approve agenda item 8G?
So move, Wasowitz.
Thank you. Second?
Second, Butler.
Thank you, Trustee Butler. Any questions or discussions on agenda item 8G? Bless you. Okay, I would just, okay, Trustee Gales?
Yeah, I just wanted to make a clarification. So the $12 million is the max. We don't intend potentially to spend the $12
million. That's correct. The $12 million gives us a little bit of flexibility. Historically, right now we're spending a little, I think, right around $6 million. What it gives us flexibility in is, one, if there's a service that we want to grow, like to grow our adult learner population, which is a revenue strategy, that would allow us to bring that up. But also, EAB is pretty well known for buying lots of companies. They're kind of the Microsoft of higher education. And so if we have a contract with an organization providing services and EAB acquires them, we would have to come to the board to get permission to continue our services. Now it has exceeded that amount. So this just gives us a little bit of capacity. We'll bring regular updates to the board as we navigate our relationship with EAB and learn the account in the room, ROI, that we're getting from the different services.
I would also make note, and correct me if I'm wrong, but if you look within the body of the action item, you know, there are several areas where we actually are taking services that we were using EAB for and bringing them in-house, just because, you know, Saul believes that we're ready now to, you know, to take over some of those services as well. So, you know, I'm very excited about that too, because I think that, you know, building core competency within NIU and not just relying on vendors like EAB to do everything for us, I think is important for those critical skills and those critical needs that that lead to student enrollment here at NIU and student success. So I'm happy to see that. And I think I saw Saul nodding his head, so I think I'm right there. Okay. If there's no further questions or discussion, Ms. Dole, would you please call the roll to approve agenda item 8G?
Trustee Rita Athes?
Yes.
Trustee John Butler?
Yes.
Trustee Montel Gales?
Yes.
Trustee Veronica Herrero? Committee Vice Chair Bob Pritchard? Trustee Tim Moore? Committee Chair Dennis Barsima?
Yes.
Board Chair Eric Wasowitz?
Yes.
I'm going to back up and ask Trustee Rita Athes again, just to make sure it's on
yes.
the record. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Doe. Agenda item 8G is approved. Agenda item 8H.
Agenda item 8H is the DeKalb Campus Recreation Drive Roadway Repairs Capital Project Approval. The university is requesting approval to repair Recreation Drive, located on the north side of the Convocation Center, which experiences regular transit bus traffic and is degraded to the point where major repairs are required. The scope of work for this project will improve performance and durability of the existing roadway to ensure better and continued ability to handle heavy vehicle traffic. Work will include removal and replacement of the existing road surface and base courses to ensure stability for the asphaltic, I'm not sure that's a word, but I'm going with it, concrete to handle the intended traffic loads. Repairs are intended to be completed over the summer months of 2023 to least impact bus operations, and the project totals not to exceed $400,000. The university recommends that the Finance, Audit, Compliance, Facilities, and Operations Committee endorse this request and asks that the President forward it by means of the President's report to the Board of Trustees for approval at its meeting on March 23rd, 2023.
Thank you. Is there a motion to approve agenda item 8H?
So moved, Gales.
Second, Athes.
Thank you. Thank you, Trustee Gales. Thank you, Trustee Athes. Is there any questions or discussion? Trustee Gales?
Does that amount to $400,000, does that account for contingency fee as well in the event we see some unforeseen circumstance out there?
Yes. I looked at John and he said yes.
Okay.
And I think normally with capital projects, we build in a contingency factor just in case, because we have seen costs go up the last year.
Thank you.
Further questions or discussion? Okay. Seeing none, Ms. Doe, would you please call the roll for agenda item 8H?
Trustee Rita Athes?
Yes.
Trustee John Butler?
Yes.
Trustee Montel Gales?
Yes.
Trustee Veronica Herrero? Committee Vice Chair Bob Pritchard? Trustee Tim Moore? Committee Chair Dennis Barsima?
Yes.
Board Chair Eric Wasowitz?
Yes.
Thank you. Agenda item 8H is approved. Agenda item 8I.
Agenda item 8I is the Home Student Center Envelope Repairs Phase 1 Capital Project Approval. Following a building exterior condition assessment completed in 22, envelope repairs have been prioritized to address water infiltration concerns for the Home Student Center exterior facades. The scope of work is focused on addressing the highest priority repairs with lower priorities to be addressed in subsequent second phase of the project. These phase one repairs are intended to be completed over a summer fall 2023 and are estimated at $1.7 million. The scope will include replacement of sealant joints on the tower limestone panels and exterior windows. The Home Student Center was originally constructed in three phases between 1962 and 1966 with no major exterior repair work performed since the 1980s. The university recommends that the Finance, Audit, Compliance, Facilities, and Operations Committee endorse this request and asks that the President forward it by means of the President's report to the Board of Trustees for approval at its meeting on March 23rd, 2023.
Thank you very much. Is there a motion to approve agenda item 8I?
So moved, Athes.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second, Butler.
Thank you, Trustees Athes and Butler. Any discussions or questions? Okay, seeing none, Ms. Doe, would you please call the roll?
Trustee Rita Athus?
Yes.
Trustee Jen Butler?
Yes.
Trustee Montel Gales?
Yes.
Trustee Veronica Herrero? Committee Vice Chair Bob Pritchard? Trustee Tim Moore? Committee Chair Dennis Barsima?
Yes.
Board Chair Eric Wasowitz?
Yes.
Thank you very much. Agenda item 8I is approved. Agenda item 8J.
Agenda item 8J is Stevenson and Grant Residential Complex's Envelope Repairs Phase 2 Capital Project Approval. Following an initial phase of exterior water infiltration repairs completed in 22, the second phase of the project addresses subsequent repair priorities originally identified in 2021 condition assessment. The work scope is focused on addressing all remaining water infiltration priorities for the exteriors of the Stevenson and Grant residential complex. Repairs are intended to be completed over the summer months of 23, when these facilities are at minimal occupancy, and the project cost is estimated at $3.2 million. On March 24, 2022, the Board of Trustees approved a Phase 1 project budget of $650,000, and critical priority repairs to the exterior envelope of the two residential complexes were completed in 22. This Phase 2 project is planned to address all remaining exterior facade repairs for these two residential complexes. The university recommends that the Finance, Audit, and Compliance Facilities and Operations Committee endorse this request and ask that the President forward it by means of the President's report to the Board of Trustees for approval at its meeting on March 23, 2023.
Thank you very much. Is there a motion to approve Agenda Item 8J?
So moved, Athus.
Second, Gales.
Okay, thank you, Trustees Athus and Gales. Any discussion or questions or comments? I have a comment for John Heckman. Get a lot of rest, because I think you're going to be very busy with all these capital improvement projects that we're approving. Any other questions or comments? Trustee Gales.
Just one quick question. When we do these types of repairs, how long should this last us?
I'm thinking quickly as I walked up to the podium here. It can vary based on the type of repair you're doing. Like caulking could last, 5 years. It could go 10 years. It could go even longer. It really is something we have to assess on a regular basis and see if we had the right product, if we had matched the right environmental conditions, and we keep on top of it. But I would like to say a good 10 years plus overall.
Thank you. Further questions? Okay. Seeing none, Ms. Doe, would you please call the roll?
Trustee Rita Athus?
Yes.
Trustee John Butler?
Yes.
Trustee Montel Gales?
Yes.
Trustee Veronica Herrero? Committee Vice Chair Bob Pritchard? Trustee Tim Moore? Committee Chair Dennis Barsima?
Yes.
Board Chair Eric Wasowitz?
Yes.
Thank you. Agenda item 8J is approved. Agenda item 8K.
Agenda item 8K is fiscal year 2023 elevator services increase for GD Bari and Associates, Inc. GD Bari is a central management services approved business enterprise program vendor that provides campus elevator repair services, including corrective repairs, maintenance, and emergency response. The original approval of $325,000 was received in March 2022. During fiscal year 23, there has been an anticipated increase in elevator corrective repairs and preventative maintenance due to past deferred major repair requirements, which has not been accomplished. Contract increase will be processed in accordance with the applicable Illinois procurement regulations and advertised as required in the Illinois procurement bulletin. The amount listed is the revised not-to-exceed limit established for work through the remainder of fiscal year 23. This amount does not reflect an obligation, but serves as an upper limit for the amount of work that may be requested under this agreement. The university recommends that the Finance, Audit, Compliance, Facilities, and Operations Committee endorse this request and asks that the President forward it by means of the President's report to the Board of Trustees for approval at its meeting on March 23, 2023.
Thank you, Dr. Middlemist. Is there a motion to approve Agenda Item 8K?
So move, Wasowitz.
Second. Is there a second?
Second, Athus.
Thank you very much, Trustees Wasowitz and Athus. Is there any discussions or questions?
No.
Trustee Gales?
Just one quick statement. I'm glad we were able to get a BEP vendor involved in this kind of repair.
Okay, seeing no further questions or discussion, Ms. Doe, would you please call the roll for agenda item 8K?
Trustee Rita Athus?
Yes.
Trustee John Butler?
Yes.
Trustee Montel Gales?
Yes.
Trustee Veronica Herrero? Committee Vice Chair Bob Pritchard? Trustee Tim Moore? Committee Chair Dennis Barsima?
Yes.
Board Chair Eric Wasowitz?
Yes.
Agenda item 8K is approved. Agenda item 8L.
Agenda item 8L is the fiscal year 2024 through fiscal year 2028 solid waste removal and recycling services. The existing contract for refuse and recycling expires on June 30th, 2023. A new contract solicitation to request proposals from interested vendors for services beginning July 1, 2023 for Cal campus locations, along with alternates for satellite campuses, will be processed in accordance with applicable Illinois procurement regulations and advertised as required on the Illinois Procurement Bulletin. The solicitation is structured for a five-year single term at a not-to-exceed rate of $2 million to compensate for the upfront investment interested companies may have to make with vehicles and other supporting equipment. There are currently approximately 150 refuse and recycling containers at various DeKalb and satellite campus collection points. The university recommends that the Finance, Audit, Compliance, Facilities, and Operations Committee endorse this request and ask that the President forward it by means of the President's report to the Board of Trustees for approval at its meeting on March 23, 2023.
Thank you very much. Is there a motion to approve agenda item 8L?
So move, Gales.
Second?
Second, Wasowitz.
Thank you, Trustees Gales and Wasowitz. Is there any discussion or comments? Okay, seeing none, Ms. Doe, would you please call the roll for agenda item 8L?
Trustee Rita Athus?
Yes.
Trustee John Butler?
Yes.
Trustee Montel Gales?
Yes.
Trustee Veronica Herrero? Committee Vice Chair Bob Pritchard, Trustee Tim Moore, Committee Chair Dennis Barsima?
Yes.
Board Chair Eric Wasowitz?
Yes.
Thank you. Agenda item 8L is approved. If I can just go back and ask one question on 8L, it has no effect on my vote. On the recycling piece, clearly we received a presentation a couple of board meetings ago about the sustainability efforts on our campus and the increased focus on that. Do our recycling, do these recycling services, are they supporting the sustainability efforts that we have?
I will say absolutely yes. In fact, our sustainability coordinator, Courtney, is on our team coordinating with this contract, so we are hip to hip with her.
Oh, great. Good. That's great to hear. Thank you, John. Okay. We move on now to agenda item 8M.
Following open order renewals for new agreements will be processed in accordance with applicable Illinois procurement regulations and advertised as required on the Illinois Procurement Bulletin. The amounts listed are not to exceed limits established for fiscal year 24. These amounts do not reflect obligations to serve as an upper limit for the cost of materials that may be procured under these agreements. The university recommends that the Finance, Audit, Compliance, Facilities, and Operations Committee endorse this request and ask that the President forward it by means of the President's report to the Board of Trustees for approval at its meeting on March 23rd, 2023.
Thank you very much, Dr. Middlemist. Which, by the way, I would add that you're doing an excellent job in your first meeting of going through all these action items. And I would say that this is not normal that we have this many. So you are jumping into the deep end of the pool here, but you're doing a great job. Thank you very much. Okay, is there a motion to approve agenda item 8M?
So move, Wasowitz.
Second, Athos.
Thank you, Trustees Wasowitz and Athos. Is there any discussion, comments, or questions? Okay, seeing no hands in the air, Ms. Doe, would you please call the roll for agenda item 8M?
Trustee Rita Athos?
Yes.
Trustee John Butler?
Yes.
Trustee Montel Gales?
Yes.
Trustee Veronica Herrero? Committee Vice Chair Bob Pritchard? Trustee Tim Moore? Committee Chair Dennis Barsima?
Yes.
Board Chair Eric Wasowitz?
Yes.
Thank you. Agenda item 8M is approved. Agenda item 8N.
So, Trustee Barsima, I'm going to ask that agenda item 8N be removed from the agenda. I've been alerted that there's a potential conflict of interest in the voting members of the board. And so we'll pull this and bring it to the next opportunity that we have with the board.
Okay, thank you very much. Trustee Butler has disclosed a potential conflict regarding item 8N, and he was going to abstain from voting, and therefore we would not have had quorum. So the administration is going to withdraw the item and bring it back to this board in the March meeting. So we will move on then to item 8O.
Agenda item.
I'm having to remind myself of the alphabet here.
Yes. Agenda item 8O is fiscal year 2024 Microsoft enrollment contract renewal. The Division of Information Technology, or DOIT, is currently in the process of reviewing quotes from the Illinois Public Higher Education Cooperative, resale vendors, and investigating options for BEP participation during the license period July 1, 2023 through June 30th, 2024. Initial quotes indicate that pricing will not be substantially varied from the current contract, not to exceed $625,000. The licensing under this contract allows NIU to run Microsoft Windows Desktop OS and Microsoft Office products, including their updates for all university-owned computers, and provide 5 copies of Office for all students, faculty, and staff to run on their personal devices while they are enrolled or employed at the university. This contract also covers Windows Server licensing costs and NIU's virtual environment and license costs for several security features such as multi-factor authentication and self-service password reset. For fiscal year 24, the request is increased to $625,000 to support the university's ongoing transition to Teams Voice and enhanced information security strategies via an uplift to a higher level of Microsoft 365 licensing. This renewal replaces a 9-year renewal that occurred based on a prior RFP awarded on June 6, 2013. The university recommends that the Finance Audit Compliance Facilities and Operations Committee endorse this request and ask that the President forward it by means of the President's report to the Board of Trustees for approval at its meeting on March 23, 2023.
Thank you very much. Is there a motion to approve agenda item 8O?
So move, Wasowitz.
Second, Athos.
Thank you, Trustees Wasowitz and Athos. Is there any discussion? Trustee Butler. And then I'll move to you, Trustee Gales.
Thank you. I'm with the to be determined in the item for the vendor, I'm prompted to ask my favorite question, what is it? Because if it's licensing of the Microsoft product, wouldn't the vendor be Microsoft? Can someone help me understand?
They go through a reason.
Good morning. Thank you for the question, Trustee Butler. So we're going to procure the Microsoft contract for the university through a reseller. And so there's a series of resellers that we're working with off of the IPEC contract today. And so we're down to 2 vendors. We expect the price will be about same with some minor changes that will inform our decision probably in advance of the March Board of Trustees meeting, and so we'll be able to clarify that for you then.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to withdraw my question. It was addressed by Trustee Butler.
Okay. Thank you, Trustee Gales. Any other questions, comments? Okay. Seeing no hands in the air, Ms. Doe, would you please call the roll for agenda item 8-0?
Trustee Rita Athus?
Yes.
Trustee John Butler?
Yes.
Trustee Montel Gales?
Yes.
Trustee Veronica Herrero? Committee Vice Chair Bob Pritchard? Trustee Tim Moore? Committee Chair Dennis Barsima?
Yes.
Board Chair Eric Wasowitz?
Yes.
Thank you very much. Agenda item 8-0 is approved. Agenda item 8-P.
Agenda item 8-P is Campus Print Lease Program. The Division of Information Technology, Integrated Media Technologies requests permission to issue an order for a new 60-month lease for the Campus Printer Program, not to exceed $4.1 million over 5 years. Commensurate with the current annual volume of 6 million images and base lease rate that includes 400,000 monochrome and 100,000 color images per month, hardware, software, toner, and maintenance. Volumes beyond the base allowance will be charged monthly at a per-copy rate. This new program will consist of approximately 325 selected RICO multifunction devices, paper-cut output management software, and Transact NFC proximity card readers. Peripheral devices such as fax boards and networking cards are also included. The university recommends that the Finance, Audit, Compliance, Facilities, and Operations Committee endorse this request and ask that the President forward it by means of the President's report to the Board of Trustees for approval at its meeting on March 23, 2023.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Middlemist. Is there a motion to approve agenda item 8P?
So move, Wasowitz.
Second, Athus.
You guys are becoming quite the team today. Thank you, Trustees Wasowitz and Athus. Is there any discussion, comments, or questions? Trustee Athus, and then I'll move to you, Trustee Gales.
I was curious why this amount goes down every year since we've originally approved it almost every year. Is it something that we're doing more of outsourcing, or are we?
So Matt, I'm going to turn it to Matt, but I would assume that part of the reason that it went down was that we were in the middle of a pandemic and not on campus as much.
Okay.
That's correct. So before the pandemic, we were about 12 million impressions a year on the Anywhere Prints program. That dropped down to about 3 in year 2021 for campus for the year. And now we're back up around 6 this year, and we're forecasting similar where we'll land next year as well.
Well, then are we anticipating it going up next year?
We've re-baselined. I'd say we've at the height of the pandemic, where really we were all virtual impressions on our Anywhere Prints program, we're around 3 million a year. Mm-hmm. We've now, since we're sort of making our way out of the pandemic, we're back to campus more. Mm-hmm. Still operating in a hybrid environment for sure, in flexible work environment. Along with a lot of electronic workflow processes and enhancements we've made on campus, that means we don't need to print as much. We're sort of realizing sort of a new normal of about 6 million impressions for campus this year, and that's what we're forecasting next year as well.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. And I'd just add that as we go through the contract, we'll continue to monitor the impressions and adjust to meet the faculty, staff, and student needs if it goes higher.
And I'm not complaining the costs go down. I just wondered why. Thank you.
Trustee Gales, I think your hand was up first. Do you still have a question?
Yeah, I do, actually. I wanted to know, did we go through the same sort of exercise to see if we had a BEP provider in this category?
We did, and we partnered with procurements and engaged IPAC on, I think it was 3, maybe 4 vendors. We did not find through that process that we had a BEP vendor lead. However, we do anticipate with the implementation of this project, which it will be with the same vendor, Gordon Flesch, that we have the opportunity to leverage BEP through the implementation phase of the project, and that's something that we're working with procurement to work to try to leverage. Dr. Middlemist alluded to, this is sort of a modernization. So we're working with the same vendor, but we're going to end up with new multifunction devices, a new footprint on campus, and some new software associated with that. And so there's a lot of work that's ahead of us in this project that will afford the opportunity to potentially leverage a vendor in partnership with Gordon Flesch. And that's something that we're mindful of and working with procurement actively on what that looks like.
So I want to do a little follow-up question. This is so one piece of this, then the 4.1 is just one piece of that implementation?
Correct.
What do you envision as the entire project value?
Well, the entire project value will be for the term we're talking about will be 4.1. A small segment of the front end of that will include spend for getting the new units deployed. I don't have details on what the financial element to that it looks like, for particularly for fiscal, the latter part of fiscal 23 and 24. But a vast majority of this spend for the full term of the contract will be directly with Gordon Flesch in execution of the contract itself. So again, we don't have a BEP option through this in working with procurement. What we have identified is the opportunity to help on the front end with implementation. I don't think we've ironed out exactly what that looks like that's going to happen, but we're comfortable with the not-to-exceed number we're asking you today, that will cover not only that implementation, obviously, but the service itself for campus over the five-year period.
Trustee Wasserwitz, did you have a question? Yeah.
Yes, I did. So, Matt, as far as where Rita was going with this and our costs and our amount that we're using here, I mean, I see the rest of the world going more digital.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I would think that should apply to us. I mean, I just think back to this board meeting when I first joined 6 years ago. We'd have a binder this thick with all the stuff we're seeing in here. Today, I have this. So isn't it normally just going to, except for
caveman
butler here. Everybody else is like that.
Can
so,
I say something?
Yes.
So, you know, thinking back to the board meeting where we moved to campus-wide printing, there was a lot of angst and concern across our faculty, students, and staff about what that meant. And it came at a time when we were very resource constrained and concerned during the budget impasse. And one of the things that, you know, I observed then and that I researched a lot in my role as provost at that time was that anytime you make a change in printing and paper quantity, in a world that is exactly, as Trustee Wasserwitz said, going more digital, but with adopters moving that way at different rates, and as we see, personal preference. I sit next to John. He normally has an iPad. Today he went with paper. Nobody wants to feel that they won't have the option to adjust or continue to meet the needs that they have. And what the data will tell us is that everyone is more scared about a projection of a cut than behavior subsequent to that actually shows. That even when we reduce our thresholds, people actually tend to go under them anyway because their behavior and dependence on paper changes. But that's why I think it's so important to hear what Dr. Middleman said, and that is, you know, we don't pass this once and then ignore the needs of our campus. If we don't have printers in the right places, if people are feeling deprived and unable to meet the needs of their everyday workflow and serve our students and meet their classroom demands, we'll adjust. Yep. So, I think, honestly, we probably will go lower than we project because that's what's always happened. But we want to leave the space to be able to be nimble if we need to make changes to benefit our campus.
Makes sense.
Trustee Butler?
Just a few things.
Wait, so isn't it a caveman Butler?
This is, I want to be very clear, I printed these at home. This is my own investment. I would just say that as a former faculty member, and I haven't taught in a while, but I would imagine I would still, as a faculty member, there would be times where I would want to pass out documents. If for no other reason, just because I know some students pay attention better if they actually are holding something in their hand and they're actually engaged in some kind of an interaction with a document. So there are times when, even given the convenience of putting things online and people having iPads, that in the realm of teaching, sometimes you need to respond to different issues. and different goals as a teacher where paper might be necessary.
I might respond and just say this program allows for that, right? So we're just, when you look at the volume of print over time, our behaviors have changed as an institution. And so I think that this agreement or partnership with Gordon Flesch acknowledges that, but also provides the availability of a fleet of highly available multifunction devices that will be used for that very purpose in the classroom where it's needed.
Absolutely. I was actually more targeting my colleague Trustee Wasowitz's remarks.
Yes.
I see here 6 million images, absolutely. But, yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, I mean, there's no doubt it's still needed, without a doubt. I just see it kind of going that way.
Further questions or comments? Okay, seeing none, Ms. Dole, would you please call the roll for agenda item 8P for printer?
Trustee Rita Athes?
Yes.
Trustee John Butler?
Yes.
Trustee Montel Gales?
Yes.
Trustee Veronica Herrero? Committee Vice Chair Bob Pritchard? Trustee Tim Moore? Committee Chair Dennis Barsima?
Yes.
Board Chair Eric Wasowitz?
Yes.
Thank you. Agenda item 8P is approved. Well, we have come to the end of our action items. So we will now move on to agenda item 9, the university reports. And Dr. Middlemist, I will turn it back over to you.
Thank you. We have one presentation and two items today. Agenda item 9A is a presentation on facilities and infrastructure capital investment, which will complement agenda item 9B. Fiscal year 2022 report on facilities and infrastructure capital investment activities. Once the presentation is completed, we'd be happy to speak to any questions as it pertains to agenda item 9B. I say we because that's the royal we. I would turn to John and have him answer those. With that, I would like to introduce John Heckman, Associate Vice President for Facilities Management and Campus Services, to present agenda item 9A and 9B.
Thank you. As the slides come up, I was going to say good morning in my script, but I got to change that to good afternoon. So I'm going to keep to a script, if you allow me, just to keep on time and to make the points. Good morning or good afternoon, and thank you for the opportunity to review some of the highlights from our FY22 annual report on capital investments and the current status of our major capital projects and an update on the ongoing efforts for us to be more thoughtful about our use of space around campus. Next slide, please. This brief is structured in a similar manner as last year and will strive to show the trend to date, the future projections, and a current snapshot of major efforts underway. As a reminder, our efforts with these topics connect back to University Goal 6B, addressing the objectives for advancing our state capital investments and master planning to help guide our strategic thinking for years to come. Next slide, please. This graphic is what I consider the most powerful illustration representing the overall condition of the general revenue portion of the campus and is representative of the auxiliary side as well. As a reminder, the 2% plant replacement value threshold is the modeled level of investment roughly required to keep pace with the normal deterioration. The gap between this level and the actual investments made represents the deferred maintenance risk that the university manages on a regular basis. Fortunately, the state capital renewal authorizations from FY20, although delayed by the pandemic, continue to play out as we are optimistic that the projections displayed here for the coming years will materialize. I have to emphasize that this significantly increased level of investment will not resolve our vulnerability with deferred maintenance backlog, but will help us address the most acute issues that we are facing. We will undoubtedly need more sustained investment in the future. Next slide, please. The capital renewal projects actively in our execution pipeline with the Capital Development Board consist of the following. While we continue to anxiously await an award on the first phase of our campus boiler replacement project, We are seeing the remaining projects advancing through the design and contracting stages to get ever closer to starting actual construction activities. Overall, these active projects represent nearly $30 million of state capital investment in motion, which is very significant compared to the past. Next slide, please. For a brief recap, accounting recap, I should say, we are currently working with some prior line item authorizations for our boiler and steam line projects, in addition to the larger lump sum capital renewal authorization, which originated from FY20. This collective authority provides some $64 million of investment capability. To date, we've been able to complete only $500,000 with the emergency partial roof repair of the music building, and we still have the current $29 million of projects in the pipeline as we just reviewed. Although $500,000 doesn't seem like a whole lot, it's progress and it's motion in the right direction. Both statistics that I just mentioned here are an increase from the report I made last year. This still leaves about $34 million remaining for other capital renewal priorities, and let me talk about them on the next slide. Next slide. If you recall from the November's meeting, we presented the following capital renewal priorities being submitted through IBHE. The remaining $34 million of capital renewal authority may take us through our fifth priority before needing subsequent authorization. This represents an obvious need for continued capital renewal investment beyond our current authorization. Next slide, please. On the capital side, representing the investments needed for modernization improvements, I'm using the same graph as before, with the added layer of the past and future capital investments placed on top. In this case, the 2% of plant replacement value threshold is shown for reference, with the understanding that modernization improvements can have varying degrees of contribution towards sustaining existing facilities. Similar to the capital renewal bow wave projection in the coming years, the capital investments are also optimistically projected to be executed across these next few years. As you well know, these capital investments come from the construction of the Health IT Center and the Northern Illinois Center for Community Sustainability, or NICS. Let me talk about these two projects a little bit more on the next slide. Currently, the HITC project will wrap up the programming phase this spring and is anticipated to begin design development this summer. If all tracks smartly and remaining project funds are released when required, construction may begin in 2025 and complete the following year. Under the current programming phase, consultants and university faculty and staff have been studying the various aspects of the space required for the functions intended to be consolidated from across the campus, as roughly indicated by this graphic. I will caution that I'm only intending to provide a glimpse into what has been happening with this programming stage, and I do not intend to go into a whole lot of detail here. Next slide. While this slide is very busy, it is really meant to portray the conceptual flow for the systematic assessment of space needs that eventually collect to an understanding for the size and scale of the building. At the conclusion of the programming phase, the design development process will move beyond the more conceptual nature of the programming planning and will flesh out the additional details for how spaces will actually look and fit inside our final building. More is going to be shared at future meetings as this exciting project continues to unfold. Next slide, please. The next project is at a similar stage where some programmatic development has been accomplished in past years. This will be augmented as a consultant is hired through the Capital Development Board to assist with the development of a design build solicitation for the final construction. If all tracks well, construction may actually play out between 2024 and 2025. With this design-build approach, more NIU focus will be placed on the objectives and outcomes desired from the building and allow the competitive mix of contractors to propose the best design and construction details to achieve these objectives. I will note the proximity of the prairie restoration plot that you heard about this morning from Holly Jones. Next slide, please. This is a slide that I've been consistently using for the past couple of years with these updates, and I wanted to keep using it as a reminder about the importance of continuing our journey for thinking about space differently. It is a good reminder that if we really want to be more sustainable in the future, we need to think about space conservation and maximizing our use of our existing space to the fullest potential. Or stated another way at the bottom of the slide, use less and share more. Next slide, please. Part of our space conservation efforts have been to continue to dispose of surplus property. This can be a slow process, but fortunately, we were successful in the recent selling of the Hoffman Estates campus in this past November. As we move forward with other initiatives, we will continue to evaluate other properties so we can incrementally reshape the campus to better meet our needs. Another category of disposal involves demolition. As we continue to have two buildings with this potential resolution, one has a plan that's tied to the HITC project, and the other is waiting for a similar funding opportunity. Finally, ongoing consolidation efforts, either related to the associated HITC project or the relocation of the HR operation, will continue to create more opportunities for possible space conservation. You may recall that the HR relocation project had been previously proposed for Neptune North. Given the good problem of having a high occupancy with our residential students, we have paused this initial plan with Neptune North and are examining how Loudoun might be a better solution. This option has become increasingly more feasible as we normalize our remote working operations for many support functions which may not need a regular presence on campus. As we flesh this out more, we will seek an adjusted board approval in the future. Next slide. Lastly, we continue to make steady progress with our master planning framework development. We were about to select a consultant to assist us with the process, where we intend to work the initial campus input through the spring, work a draft framework over the summer, and conduct final reviews of the framework this fall. With this graphic, I was experimenting with how to conceptually represent the intent of the master planning framework. As we consider where we are now and where we may or need to be in the future from a built environment perspective, this framework approach is meant to provide the structure to guide the path we may end up taking with our subsequent planning decisions, given the boundaries defined by these possible factors or other objectives that we will develop through this framework. This approach will allow us to align specific planning efforts either currently underway or be conducted in the future. In fact, we're looking to take advantage of current planning initiatives to assess how the master planning framework would be envisioned to work in concert with a specific initiative to ensure this alignment. We have already incorporated a representative from the foundation and have tagged the campus sustainability coordinator to be part of our core development team for the framework. And I look forward to sharing more about the framework development later this year. Next slide, please. In summary, FY22 has been an adjustment year where we've begun to operate in a post-pandemic environment. And while we're very glad to be operating without the restrictions and impacts from the pandemic, we do have to contend with the inflationary impacts from the current economy. Related to this post-pandemic recovery, we do look forward to a significant amount of both capital renewal and capital investments playing out in the coming years. The combination of these investments will allow us to better manage our deferred maintenance risk and provide some necessary modernization improvements for the campus. The impact these capital investments will have on our deferred maintenance liability will be further magnified when combined with right-sizing initiatives for our campus. A continued focus on how we can use our space more effectively can be a critical part involving our campus built environment. As I've stated in the past, this continues to be a very exciting time for our university, and I'm anxious to see all of these initiatives come to fruition in the next few years. This is the end of my presentation, and I'll stand by for questions.
Thank you very much, John. Any questions for John? Can I get? Thank you very much, Trustee Gales.
Repair, rehab, and modernization. Are those all the same terms, or is there a difference?
In my world and in my mind, they are very different. But I can understand how the non-engineer, the non-architect can see it as just it's all the same thing, and I can appreciate that. But I try to define it differently because in the modeling we do for sustaining our facilities, a repair goes a long way to maintaining an existing facility. Renovating a facility is just changing the color and the configuration. It doesn't necessarily add to the life of the facility in some ways. So that's how I distinguish, does it mean something for the life of the facility to be extended, or is it just making it more useful for our current needs? Hope that helps explain.
And modernization is?
Modernization is also a way of configuring to our current needs, but also catching up with technology. So Getting out of the past where we can't find parts for various systems is a necessary modernization need that we also need to make.
And just one more follow-up. In terms of things like EV stations and those types of things, are those? How do we work in that kind of technology as we do our space and building planning?
That's something that we're constantly thinking about is where do we find the opportunity? I mentioned something in the brief, where do I find the opportunity for a potential demolition of a building? I'm also looking for that potential intersection of where can we insert in some of our current investment structures, like the HITC project. Part of that we are looking at as we put that building in place and some associated parking, how do we put in charging stations to start to accommodate that next wave of transportation that we're inevitably going to see?
Other questions, comments? Trustee Waswitz?
John, great presentation as usual. So are we pretty much done with boilers for now?
I have to get it awarded first. So we've had some challenges getting that project awarded. It's just a very challenging time going through the pandemic and all the challenges with that, but we are working through that. I'm optimistic. I have to remain optimistic. We're going to get that awarded with the help of the Capital Development Board and get on with our first phase of that boiler project. So I'm not there yet, but okay. I'm very close.
One more.
Trustee Gales.
In terms of the boilers, I remember, I think when I first got on the board, we were talking about boilers. What kind of increase in price are we seeing because of this kind of delay?
I'm not sure if I'm prepared to give you some quantification on that, but part of it had to do with how we were going about the contracting process with it. And we wanted to make sure that we weren't asking a contractor for the perfect solution, and we wanted a contractor to say, no, we want a solution that fits our budget. But there is an associated inflationary factor there. I just can't quantify it right now for you.
John, I have a question on NICS. Is this a building that is owned, or is the responsibility of the state of Illinois to maintain going forward? Because as you accurately pointed out, there's several costs to a building, right? The cost to build it and then the cost to maintain it for many decades into the future. Who is going to be responsible budget-wise for NICS, you know, for the NICS building itself, for ongoing support and maintenance? Is it us, or is that a state of Illinois budget that is separate from our budget?
You know, I honestly hadn't thought about it until you asked that question, because I just presumed it was going to be a university-owned asset, like we have other assets built for us, and it falls under our inventory to maintain in the future. So at the moment, that's the way I'm viewing it, but I'll probably have to pull the string to see if there's going to be a different approach with that.
Yeah. Because I noticed that our name isn't on the building itself. It's the Northern Illinois, you know, Center for Sustainability, et cetera, et cetera. And I know that this project is in cooperation with the state of Illinois, the University of Illinois, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm just just kind of curious as to who's footing the bill for the ongoing maintenance.
Yeah, now, I just looked at Jerry for a second. I think we may have to just research that a little bit, but I'm going under the presumption that we own it.
Okay. Other questions or comments for John? Great. John, thanks very much. That was great. George, I'll turn it back over to you for, I think we've got two other items in number nine, B and C.
B is just the written report that John just presented, and then C is just an informational item, so no discussion.
Yeah. Any questions from any of the trustees on either 9B or C for Dr. Minimist or any of his team? Okay. Hearing none, thank you very much. We'll move on to other matters. Are there any other matters that need to come before this committee today? The next meeting for this committee will be May 11th of 2023. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved, Gales.
Thank you, Trustee Gales. Is there a second?
Second, Wasowitz.
Thank you, Board Chair Wasowitz. Ms. Doe, would you please call the roll to adjourn the meeting?
Trustee Rita Athes?
Yes.
Trustee John Butler?
Yes.
Trustee Montel Gales?
Yes.
Trustee Veronica Herrero? Committee Vice Chair Bob Pritchard? Trustee Tim Moore? Committee Chair Dennis Barsima?
Yes.
Board Chair Eric Wasowitz?
Yes.
Thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned, and this concludes the Finance, Audit, Compliance, Facilities, and Operations Committee. The special meeting of the Board of Trustees will begin. It's
12:45.
It will begin at 12:45. Thanks very much.
He's on different times.
What can we do? I just discovered my pen is erasable. It's erasable.
Oh. Does it actually do it?
It actually does it. Look at that. Look at that. Oh, my God. Different world.
Hopefully the closed session will be too long. It's just going to give us space.
Yeah, we're in trouble.
Oh, thank you.
I don't mean to be the bearer of bad news.
Nothing to do in this meeting.
Well, yeah, this